Think about the last time you needed some kind of medical care, whether it was a checkup or a major surgery. The chances are you were cared for, at least in part, by nurses. There are approximately 3 million nurses in this country, and as our population ages and our healthcare needs grow, that may not be nearly enough. Today on Please Explain, we're going to talk about the nursing profession, what nurses do, what the future of nursing may look like, and why we hear so often that nursing is in crisis. Joining us now are Dr. Bobby Berkowitz, the Dean of the Columbia University School of Nursing. Her research focuses on health policy and public health system reform. And Ghislaine Cherry, a registered nurse with the not-for-profit Visiting Nurse Service of New York. She also works in the Pediatric Emergency Department at Jamaica Hospital in Queens. Welcome to our show.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And then we invite our listeners to join in the conversation. Our phone number is 212-433-9692, or you can write us at WNYC.org. Go to our show page, or you can also contact us by tweeting us. Our handle is at Leonard Lopate. And Facebook is another way that you can contact us. So there are lots of different ways that you can get in the conversation. Let's begin with you, Dean Berkowitz. Many of us may think we know what nurses do, but is there a specific professional definition of nursing?
Well, maybe I could answer that by talking a little bit about what nurses do. So if you think of a typical day for a registered nurse, they interact with a lot of people, a lot of families, sometimes working with communities, in schools, working with kids, a variety of types of jobs. But they're always doing a couple of things that characterizes the profession of nursing. First of all, they're always assessing either the individual's, what we call response, to either wellness or sickness. So how's the individual reacting to some event, either being sick or trying to prevent something? So they're assessing, they're evaluating how individuals are reacting. Then based on a diagnosis, they'll act, so an intervention or a prevention or some education. And then they'll always be evaluating whether that particular intervention is having an effect.
Well, that sounds to some degree like what I also expect doctors to do. Isn't there quite a bit of overlap? How did nurses differentiate in practical terms what their roles are compared to what a physician is expected to do?
Well, in most health professions, including medicine and nursing, there is a lot of overlap in roles and the way we approach health. So nurses work across many settings and where individuals and families either live or work or play. And they provide, but nurses tend to provide care throughout a lifespan, from birth to aging. They tend to provide care across care settings, and we'll hear about that related to visiting nurses.
The fact that Ghislaine also works in pediatric care.
In pediatrics, right? It's a good example. And they consider all aspects of human response, from mental health to illness to disease, and they tend to focus on prevention, and they tend to focus on assisting individuals to care for themselves.
Now, Ghislaine, I introduce you as a registered nurse. There are a number of different levels of education in nursing. What is a registered nurse? Does that mean you took a certain amount of college get called that?
Yes. I went to school at SUNY Brockport University, upstate New York. I completed my bachelor's degree in nursing, and then I took the New York State registered nurse exam. And upon completion of that, then I was licensed, and then I went and on the workforce.
But you could have also have pursued even more degrees?
Oh, yes. I have my bachelor's. And
now can you go as far as a PhD?
Oh, definitely. Yes, I have friends that have their master's. And now what's very popular is the nurse practitioner. And, of course, I also have a friend that has her PhD in nursing.
So but let's say you have 20 years or 30 years experience with an undergraduate degree, mm-hmm. and somebody who just gotten a PhD but is about 30 years younger than you comes into the hospital setting, does that person tell you what to do? You'd have a lot of experience, wouldn't you?
Oh, well, I have the experience and they have the education. Nowadays, nurses are encouraged to go back to school and get their, now the bachelor's, because now they don't want the associate anymore, which is a 2-year degree in nursing, registered nurse. Now they tend to want more education, bachelor or master's. And as you have more education, you can go up the echelon, becoming head nurse and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bobby Berkowitz, you're the dean of the Columbia University School of Nursing. So Does that cover the full spectrum?
Well, we educate at a post-baccalaureate level. So we take individuals who already have a bachelor's degree in something else, but not nursing, and then we provide them with education for professional nursing. We are primarily a graduate school, so we also educate at the master's and the doctoral level.
Now, Ghislaine, you work both in a hospital setting and in the community, as we said. In both cases, you're a nurse. What do you see as being at the heart of what you do as a professional? Is it the same thing?
Oh, no. It's totally different. Different setting and different pace. Working in the hospital setting is fast pace, volume. We see quite a few patients at Jamaica Hospital versus working in the home care. Home care is more relaxing. It's a one-to-one relationship with the patient. The patient is in their own environment, so they are more relaxed. You can teach them better, and they're more receptive.
In the hospital, we often see people working very long shifts.
Mm-hmm.
When you've worked 24 straight hours, do you feel that you're at your optimum best?
Oh, no, we do not work 24 hours. We have 12-hour shift, 12 hours.
Well, what was it like for you and your patients in the days following Hurricane Sandy? I don't think most people expect that nursing involves wading through water and climbing 20 flights of stairs because the elevators aren't working.
It was quite interesting. I was in the community on that day at 7:45. I attempted to see my patients. In some cases, I couldn't reach there because of the water that a lot of the buildings. Where I work, it's a guarded area. I work in the projects. So Far Rockaway, so therefore both waters, the sea and the bay, encountered. Mm-hmm. So it was flooded all over.
It was coming from both sides.
Both sides, that's right. So therefore, there was no electricity. I had to climb through stairs with flashlights and to check on my patients, because some of the patients, we, the nurses, are the only person that they see for days and weeks, and family members are either they live away or in a different mm-hmm. state. So we are the link to reality for them. So count on us.
My guests on today's Please Explain are Ghislaine Cherry, who's a registered nurse with Visiting Nurse Service of New York, also at the Pediatric Emergency Department at Jamaica Hospital in Queens, and Dr. Bobby Berkowitz, the dean of the Columbia University School of Nursing, whose research focuses on health policy and public health system reform. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. So when somebody decides to pursue a graduate degree and winds up getting a PhD, mm-hmm. I would assume that person would know as much as a doctor. And I've been in situations where I've seen nurses tell the doctor that in the nicest way that they think the doctor is pursuing the wrong approach.
Well, I think, nurses have always been, no matter what level they're at, they do have a responsibility to question orders, physician orders. They're responsible for making sure that the intervention or the treatment they're giving is the right one. So in that way, yes, they are, in some cases, questioning what the doctors are doing. But I think, to your question about the PhD for us, as well as most professions, is a research degree. And so there, our doctoral graduates are asking many of the same questions, research questions, that physicians and others are asking. We have a little bit different perspective on the answers and a little bit different perspective on our approaches.
But that means that they're not just working in a medical situation in a hospital and answering when somebody pushes a button and says, I'm feeling uncomfortable right now.
They have the doctorally prepared, the PhD prepared nurse is generally in a research setting, an academic setting. What you might find in the hospital, though, and more frequently so, are advanced practice nurses who also may be educated at the Doctor of Nursing Practice level, which is a professional practice doctoral degree.
We have some calls coming in. Our number is 212-433-9692. We go now to Bob from Rico Park, Queens. Hi, you're on the air.
Leonard, great show. A long time ago, I'm 57, I was a nursing aide. I noticed when I was an aide, the aide did tremendous amount of work. You're talking a lot about registered nurses, but I think you should talk a little about the aides who assist the nurses, who assist the doctors, who do an unbelievable amount of work.
Okay, well, nurses' aides, but they're on the bottom rung of the totem pole, aren't they?
Nurses' aide?
Yeah.
They are right hand in both settings. At work, in the hospital, they're the one who help us to clean the patient, turn them, make the property list, make sure that the patient get changed into a gown. They do the EKGs. So the nurses' aide, they do a lot of tasks. In the hospital, they can also draw some blood. They cannot start IVs, but they can draw bloods. In the home care setting, the home health aide is the one that stays with the patient. So therefore, they are our second pair of eyes because they spend more time with the patient, so they can see any changes in the patient, and they will call us nurses and say, "Listen, Cherry, Mrs. So and so has gained 3 pounds, and she's a CHF patient, so therefore, you need to come and reevaluate her." So I would go reevaluate her and call the doctor. And
But they can't do any medical procedures themselves.
No, they cannot. They cannot. No.
But I think what Bob is also referring to is that in many settings, including many long-term care facilities, nurse aides are really some of the primary providers in those settings. So he's right. They work very hard, and they do quite a range of tasks.
I understand that nursing is a profession in which there's a high rate of burnout. People leave the profession more frequently than they do in many other professions. Can you talk about that a bit?
Well, you're correct. There is a fair amount of burnout. It does depend on the setting. I mean, the system, how well the system supports nursing, all the way from leadership to the technology that's available for nurses, to the working conditions are things that are factors related to whether nurses burn out or not. I mean, there are hospitals that have certain accreditation that are known for the way they treat nurses, adequate staffing for nurses, adequate rewards, good leadership, a system that's very responsive. Unfortunately, all healthcare environments aren't like that, and the hours are long, and the work is stressful. And, sometimes the patients themselves can be difficult when they're, for instance, in oncology or, mental health, et cetera. So I think it's a range of factors, but it's a tough career.
And Giseline, you smile when she said patients can be difficult at times. Well, they're in pain.
They're
worried about their situation.
That's right.
But you're the one who bears the brunt of their concerns.
That's right, because they, in this setting that if they are admitted, they're waiting for a bed and they want to feel comfortable. And, of course, when you're in pain and you have other people around you, you tend to be grumpy.
Now, Bobby also mentioned the matter of adequate rewards. We often hear about nurses complaining that they're underpaid. Do you think we undervalue nurses and what they do?
My husband is a teacher, and comparing the other profession as such as social worker, teachers, I feel personally that we are better paid than those other healthcare workers in comparison.
You know, the other thing is that we may have a perception that nurses are undervalued, but in fact, when they come out with the rankings about trust, nurses are always on top and have been for years and years and years. So I think the public trusts nurses. I don't think they always know what they're getting, because a lot of what nurses do, a lot of the assessing and diagnosing and sort of critical thinking is sort of, opaque to the patient.
We think the doctor is doing all of that.
I think many patients do think that.
We have to take a little break. We'll come back with your calls and even some other questions that might occur to me. Our number here is 212-433-9692. My guests are Dr. Bobby Berkowitz, the Dean of the Columbia University School of Nursing, and Ghislaine Cherry, a registered nurse with Visiting Nurse Service of New York, and also in the Pediatric Emergency Department at Jamaica Hospital in Queens. The number again, 212-433-9692. You can also leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. You can tweet us, and you can also write us on Facebook. And we're back with Please Explain, our discussion of nursing with Ghislaine Cherry, who's a registered nurse, and Dr. Bobby Berkowitz, who's the Dean of the Columbia University School of Nursing. And we're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write us on our show page at WNYC.org. And let us go to Amy from Manhattan. Hi, Amy. You're on the air.
Hi, Leonard, and hi to the guests. I do medical editing, and sometimes I work on nursing materials, and that's where I found out that there are separate nursing diagnoses that are different from the medical diagnoses that we're more familiar with. And I wanted to ask the guests to explain that a little.
So, yes, you're right. There are a set of nursing diagnoses that when a nurse is doing their assessment and diagnosing, for the registered nurse, a nursing diagnosis will be related to, as I said earlier, how an individual is responding to their illness or perhaps an attempt at more wellness. So it might be something like how well they're responding to pain, how well they're responding to the management of their medication, how they're doing in terms of stress, how they're doing in terms of mobilizing, walking, doing activities of daily living. So the diagnoses are really more related to how the person is responding to an event, which is different than a medical diagnosis, although nurses also utilize medical diagnoses as well.
Thank you for your call. Donna from New Jersey, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Leonard. I just want to tell you that I love you.
Well, love you too, although don't tell my wife, okay?
Thank you. Okay. I just wanted to ask, I'm in my mid-50s, and I have a bachelor's degree in business, but I have not been able to get a job in over 2 years, so I've been thinking about changing careers. I would never have thought to go into nursing when I was just graduating high school, but now I see what an incredible career it is. There's so many options of what they can do. And especially as there's going to be a shortage of doctors in the future, I know nurses are going to take over perhaps more of that in clinics. And I was wondering if Dean Berkowitz, what she would think of somebody in their mid-50s changing to that, and would she recommend them doing an LPN first before an RN?
I would recommend you take a look at it, absolutely. If you already have a bachelor's degree, there's no need to start over at an LPN. You can. Many of the universities have post-baccalaureate, what we call entry into practice programs. It's a very accelerated baccalaureate program in nursing. So within 3 to 4 semesters, we give you the basic nursing education. And for many of us, including Columbia, the next step is a master's degree or a which would provide you with the advanced practice.
What do you find that people coming into the profession want or imagine for themselves when they come to the school?
Well, I think, you know, our students are a little bit older, and they are have been often in the workforce for a while, and they've also been educated. So, you know, I think they're looking for independence. They're looking for a career that has a lot of variation in it. They're looking, for many of our students, a social justice mission is high for them. They want to participate in a way of caring for underserved populations. They want to impact health disparities. And often they're interested in science, but science that's related to the human context.
But Ghislaine, would you say that still most of the nurses are female?
Yes.
And why do you think that is? Because the things that Bobby just said seemed to me to be just as appealing to men as to women.
I think it's because of people always think that nursing, all we do is the cleaning patients and the bedside nursing. They don't see nursing as a panoramic view, whereas you can be a nurse and never take care of a patient. There's nursing law. There's now with the new technology, there's nurses that are teaching the computers. So nursing is so vast. You can be a nurse and do so many things. That's why I love the profession. And once you become a nurse, if you get tired of working in the emergency room, you can switch to go into labor and delivery, to CCU, and you don't have to go back to school, and you change your environment, and you feel more satisfied. So I love nursing.
I think the media has not been particularly kind to nursing. I think when you see how nurses are depicted on television and movies, it's also usually a very narrow scope. It's often shows women, and I think
it's often sexualized.
Yes, and so I think people see that, including men, and think, well, that's not a career for me. But the fact is totally different.
Are you seeing more men coming into the school?
We are. We have probably about 10% of our students are men. That statistic has not changed a lot over time, but we do a lot of recruiting specifically for men.
Let's take another call. Candace from New Jersey, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I'm calling on really on behalf of my daughter, who's a very recent graduate with her BSN. She's sitting for her NCLEX in a couple of days, and she's really just rather daunted by the lack of opportunity for a new graduate to get a job in a hospital setting. All the jobs require 2 years of experience, and getting the 2 years of experience to get that job is impossible. And we're both a little frustrated, and we really would love some suggestions on what we do now.
Well, just a few thoughts. I think some of the large urban hospitals are looking for more experienced nurses. However, I think she should be persistent, because some of the large hospitals do take new grads and then do their own orientation and residencies. I would also suggest she take a look at some of the smaller community-based hospitals. And she may want to also look at community health or home care. I think to get a little bit of experience, she may need to move out of the large urban hospitals, at least in the beginning.
You have anything you want to add to that, Jessica?
Yes, another thing she can do also is to try to get an internship in a hospital, and thereby she can get hired. But
because interns often are the first ones who get hired, simply because we know what they can do.
Yes, yes.
Okay, let's try David from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi there.
Yes, David.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling as a resident, a physician in training, and I wanted to just mention how important a role nurses often play in the training and education of doctors just starting out.
So do you find yourself, Ghislaine, sometimes teaching doctors the ropes?
Oh, yes. Especially when they finish their training, they're very nervous. So we kind of coach them into the tasks, like starting an IV or getting more familiar with the patient, how to approach them. So we do coach them.
Dr. Berkowitz, what can nursing offer that's not being fully exploited?
Well, I think, one of the things that I'm most concerned about currently is the influx, what we anticipate to be an influx of many, many more individuals into the healthcare system once the insurance portion of health reform kicks in.
Wait, so right now we've been hearing about a nursing shortage. Is there
right.
one?
Well, there's variation across the country. But yes, there is a nursing shortage. There's a faculty shortage. So with new patients, new calls for primary care, That's both a challenge, but it's also an opportunity for nursing.
Well, we're also hearing about hospital closings all over the place. Does that mean there are nurses out there looking for jobs because they've lost the place they've been working?
Yes. There's quite a few nurses. For instance, Mary Immaculate closed about 2 years ago.
That's in Jamaica, near Jamaica Hospital.
Near Jamaica Hospital. St. John's on Queens Boulevard closed.
And Greenwich Village, we lost a major hospital.
Yes, and also Peninsula Hospital has closed. As a result of that, we have seen an influx of older patients going into Jamaica Hospital. But those nurses have not been reabsorbed into other hospitals because there are so many of them.
Does that cause a problem for the nurses who are there because suddenly they have more heavier patient loads?
Oh, definitely. More definitely. We see an overload of patients in the emergency room where I work.
That's because many people rely on the emergency room as their primary care physician. And there are politicians in Washington who say, we don't need any health care reform because people can just go to the emergency room.
And that's not a solution. Of course, as we all know, the emergency rooms are really specific for trauma and crisis, and it's not an environment to really try and understand.
So if I have a cold, you don't suggest I go there?
I definitely do not. I'd find yourself a really great nurse practitioner.
Let's take another call, Kate from South Amboy. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you? I'm also a nurse. I'm an ER nurse, like one of the ladies that's with you today. And I do work in New Jersey. I think one of the things that we need to really have a discussion about is leadership within the hospital systems themselves. Nurses are the largest population of employees in a hospital. But for some reason, when we look at reorganization and cutbacks and budget issues, nursing generally seems to be the ones that go. And what I've seen in the hospitals that I've worked in, and it's very frustrating, is that we are very short-staffed, and it's not just the ERs, it's the floors. You get a bed for a patient eventually, and you call reports, and this person has a bed, this is great. We can't take the patient, we don't have enough staff. So, you know, we are crying out from one end, but yet, for whatever reason, there doesn't seem to be that the nurses are organized enough in individual states. We don't have caps where you can say, you know, if you're an ER nurse and you have 5 critical patients, you know, that's your cap. You can't take any more because it's unsafe. So essentially, nursing and leadership and development, we need to come up with safe practices, and that really has not yet happened.
Is this something, Ghislaine, that nurses talk about amongst themselves?
Definitely. Especially now at Jamaica, the influx of patients because of the hospital closing around. We see a large number of patients.
Are there caps?
No, there's no caps.
So
as the patient
5, 6, 7, you can have as many as is necessary?
Yes, you have to. That's very important. That's a good question, yes.
A listener, Amy, asked on our show page, do doctors pay attention to nursing diagnoses?
No.
No. But some, probably the ones you like the best will listen to you, right?
Oh.
Because you've seen certain things probably more than some of the doctors.
In the home care setting, the doctors listen to us, definitely, because we are their eyes out there. We are evaluating the patients. So when we call them, they're very receptive to us, and they listen to us. If I call a doctor and said, listen, the patient has gained 5 pounds, what are we going to do? So he's going to say, okay, increase the Lasix. He will listen to my judgment and then change the medication accordingly to prevent a hospitalization. Mm-hmm. Because that's the main thing now. The paying, if a patient has CHF and they are being re-hospitalized over and over again, well, the insurance is not going to pay. The hospital will not be receiving payment for that patient. So therefore, home care become key in helping the patient staying at home and controlling the
we have very little time, but how much does the fact that insurance is involved in all of this affect the way anybody is dealt with, any patient? I mean, is that in the back of your head at all, or are you just simply worried about
oh, no. Well, now
the condition
in the,
you have to confront?
Well, now with managed care, we don't go see the patient accordingly. We have to request for visit. The insurance company decides how many visit according to the diagnosis, and we have to keep asking more visit, and we have to present the situation in a way that they will give us more visit according to the diagnosis and the
patient
condition.
I thank both of you so much, Ghislaine Cherry, a registered nurse with Visiting Nurse Service of New York and Jamaica Hospital, and Dr. Bobby Berkowitz, the Dean of the Columbia University School of Nursing.
Thank you.
Thank you.